God has called us to powerful lives to live for Him, but we must first be pure. Sweet. Today, we're going to preach a message that the Lord really has laid on my heart, and I'm super excited about. It's called, Your Purity Makes You Desirable. It sounds tasty, don't it? Sweet. Anyway, God has good things for us today. How many of you guys, this is your first time here at GM? You've never been here before? Brandon. Awesome. Hey, welcome. Okay. Well, I hope you like me when I'm done.
Because I'm going to still like you.
All right. Turn your Bibles to Revelations chapter 19 and verse 6.
My eschatologist over in the corner.
Revelations 19 and verse 6. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Verse 7, Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. God desires purity. We talked last week that God desired purity from Adam and Eve for them to remain pure. But what happened? They sinned and were separated because of their impurity. God desires a pure sacrifice from sin. When the Old Testament, in the law, God desired and needed a sacrifice of a pure, spotless lamb for the forgiveness of sins. And when Jesus came, he desired that Jesus would be a pure sacrifice to make righteousness available to everyone. He desires that the lives of those who love Him today would also be pure and purified by the power of that of which Christ died for and made available to us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we ask that Your presence would be with us today. God, that You would move in power. God, that You would show us today, even reveal to my heart today, how my purity would make me not only desirable to You, but desirable to others, God. Father, we are just dependent on You. Lord, nothing can happen without the power of Your presence. And so, Lord God, we invite Your presence into this place. God, through the power of Your Word, to renew and transform our minds so that we can be formed into the image of Your Son. God, meet us here today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. There's not only power in your purity. God has not only given you the power within your Christian walk to fight off and to ward off temptations that are built off of those evil and wicked desires in your heart. But you know what? As you begin to surrender your life to the Lord, He will make you desirable. He will make you desirable. If you look in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3, it says this, Who may ascend on the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive a blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. Wow. Look, who may ascend into the presence of God? What is desirable to God? That which is pure. I have a really simple just example here about...
Someone's been drinking out of this already.
About purity. And it's just like this. This water, even though it looks like someone's drank out of it, okay, let's look at one of these water bottles, because... We think about purity in this water bottle I have in my hand. Nice Fred Meyer. It says spring water, but somehow I doubt that Fred Meyer actually got this water from a spring. But maybe he did. It's all nice and sealed. You know, when you see the seal on this cap, you know it's been protected, right? Its purity has been protected. At least you hope so, according to, you know, Fred Meyer's standard of saying that it's spring water, natural spring water. Either they have their little disclaimer here, or and then they have their little, like, they have their little statement of quality guarantee. If you are not completely satisfied with this product, return it for a refund or replacement. Comments or questions, call 1-800, whatever, right? They have their commitment to their quality. And you know that because this cap hasn't been broken yet. You're like, ooh, okay. I can trust that this water has not been tainted or affected by anything else.
Hello. It's only flying logs through the air, don't worry.
But this one, what do you think? You just don't really, the label's pulled off. The cap, I mean, the little niche's not even, you're like, yee.
If this seal has been broken, do not drink, right?
We don't know. Does somebody like take little drops of hepatitis C and bloop them in there, you know?
Sorry, that might have been a little too far.
Whatever, you don't know. We think it's pure. It looks pure. It's clear, right? But who put their lips on it? There's some of y'all in here. If you put your lips on this, I wouldn't want to drink it. Now, no offense. I love you. But you know, I mean, I've had some friends that they're just kind of nasty. And I wouldn't want to put my lips on something that they put their lips on. So I don't know who had this. Now, I did get this out of the senior pastor's office, so I'm thinking it's probably somewhat safe. But you wouldn't have known that, right? So if you were running and you're just, had a really hard day, and you'd just be like, oh man, the seal was on, I know this is good. It's pure, it's good. Even if Fred Meyer, man, it's still good. He's treating me good right now.
Thank you, Freddie.
Because it's pure, right? Now, I'm not even brave enough to drink this one. I'm not brave enough. But let's just say, how many guys would drink this one? If you were dared, if I gave you $10. I mean, look, almost $100. $1,000. How many would you drink from this water? Not even $1,000? All right. Survivor serious test. $1 million. You'd drink it, right? Everybody in the, I promise you, if I laid $1 million in front of you, it would only take long enough and you'd drink it. But let's say that I poured this motor oil in here.
Ooh.
I'm going to pour motor oil in this. And this is used motor oil. Oh, geez. There we go. Now, seriously. Now, for $1 million or $1,000. Now, I'm sorry, guys. Motor oil is not really good for you. I don't know if you didn't know that. There are other kind of oils. I don't know. What if I poured arsenic in here? $1 million. How many of you would drink it? Arsenic kills you. Did you know that? Okay. Yeah. I mean, one drop of arsenic or the Ebola virus. E. coli.
Ebola.
Any of the other eye viruses. Now, once you even see that in there, I mean, seriously, the first drink you're going to get is going to be what? A giant gulp of motor oil. Does that attract you? I mean, you're really thirsty. You've just been working out. And then you see, cap's been off. There's obviously something in there that's not right.
We think it's motor oil. It's brown. And it floats. Without a DNA sample, I'm not really going to know.
All right. You see what I'm saying? And when something has been tainted, when something has been made impure, when there are impurities in something, it makes it less desirable. And there are different levels. There are different things that will taint your life or taint your purity, the purity of who you are, that will make you less desirable. But as long as we can protect that purity, right? We can maintain it, we stay desirable. This is why in the Bible, and I don't want to be too, you know, crass or whatever, but this is why in the Bible or throughout all of history, you know, everybody wants and desires virginity, the protection of your sexual purity, because it's desirable. Let's be mature. Because, you know, there's all kinds of societies that elevate this into some ungodly, weird ways. But, you know, the reality is that even before all of us, when our sexual purity has not been tainted, when it hasn't been tainted, we're desirable. More desirable. When we look at our lives before the Lord, see, God desires purity. And turn your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 3. Now I don't want to lose you. Don't lose me in this message. If you stop right there and you just start feeling really guilty and beat up because your sexual purity has been compromised, listen, don't let the enemy steal what's going to happen for you in this message. All right? God wants to transform your life through the renewing of your mind in the scripture today. This is what Jesus paid the price for, guys, is to redeem all of our impurities and to make them pure. Are you ready? You got to stick with me here. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts, say hearts, on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, say minds, on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Sounds good, doesn't it? Verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Say earthly. That's your body. Your fleshly, earthly nature, right? Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek, no Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Man, it's good. This is deep waters, guys. Deep sauce. Yeah, you know when you're eating stew? You know where the good stew? When mama cooks stew, where is the best part of the stew? Where do you scoop? Right at the bottom. Come on, you dig down deep to the bottom of that stew, and you get the big, hearty, moose, chunky, yummy, carrot, clunking yummies down in the bottom. Right? That's where we want to dig today. We want to dig down to the bottom of this. See, God desires that you would be made pure. God desires that you would ascend on His holy hill, that you would come to Him in purity. But see, God's plan for purity is not just in your body, not just in your sexual purity. And a lot of times we get stuck there, but it's so much deeper than that, guys, gals. So much deeper than just that. God desires a holistic purity from you. We saw it here. He said, set your hearts, your spirit, What does the Bible say? It says, worship me. God desires, the Father desires those who will worship him in spirit and in truth, in purity, right? They'll worship him purely, without any falsehood, from their spirit. See, God desires a holistic purity. And then it says here, it says, set your mind on the things above, and your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, set wholly on purity in your thoughts. Your thoughts are completely pure before the Lord. Your motivations, your will, your desire is pure before God. I'm not building this ministry and wanting to build your lives so that I look good. You know what? I want to have the maximum influence I can have for the Lord. But if that is only 20 people, 10 people, 2 people, or only my family, then I am happy and content with just what God has given me. You know what? The second that your motives or my motives become impure, that we are bringing people to church or sharing the gospel with them for our own gain, so that we look good or we identify with something good, all of a sudden our motives, our minds have become impure, right? Tainted. We just poured motor oil in them. More than that, when we want the glory for that of which is God's, we're putting arsenic in our spiritual lives. It's a dangerous business to take the glory that is set aside wholly for the Lord. Sometimes we skip over when we think about our purity, the purity of our mind, the purity of not only which we think on, but that of which our motives are. Man, are your motives pure today? Do you clean up your room with clear motives? Or are you just cleaning up your room so your mama will give you a candy bar? I mean, seriously.
I like candy bars. They're good.
Okay, my mama doesn't bring me candy bars anymore. I mean, who are you? Who are you? Around other people. When you're going to college. When you're going into the workplace. Why are you being who you are? Are you doing it just so they think that you're cool? Or, do you go in and you're trying to be this nice person for other people so that they like you? So that your boss will give you a promotion. So that you might make some more money. Are your motives really that you would do what is good? You would do what is right? You would share your life according to God's word so that people could be transformed and know the King and know the Creator and have that intimate love relationship with Him? See, now the fruit might be you get promoted. Fruit might be that your boss likes you, but why are you doing it? Why? Why do you go up to that girl at lunch, you know, when you're on the college campus or you're, you know, in high school, and you sit down next to her, and why start talking to her? Make her feel good? Are you trying to steal her heart? Are you going to be her husband? Do you even want to be? Are you even willing to do what it takes to captivate the heart of that woman and protect it and care for it so that you could actually be a father and a husband to her? Or are you just trying to get whatever you want? What are your motives? Are they pure? Ladies, I want to warn you, this is a side note, I want to exhort you. This is a sinful nature and desire of a man. That is the main reason that most guys, 99.9% of guys, are going to come down and sit next to you and talk to you and tell you you're pretty. Because they want to steal your heart. I'm sorry, but guys, they're wicked. They're mean and evil inside. And I'm sorry, guys, I'm exposing you right now.
Thanks a lot.
But it's just the truth, and I know the truth is sometimes hard to accept. But gosh, what are these things that the Bible is saying we should not have? It says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, your sexual immorality, your impurities, your lust, your evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because these things, the wrath of God is coming. We've got to put our minds and our hearts on the things above. The things above. Guys, the wrath of God is coming. This is not a joke. This is not pretend. We're not in some fairyland.
We're in youth group and it's fairyland.
Now I know cartoons and I know that movies and all of our media and our pagan world we live in wants to tell you that you live in some romanticized fairyland. But I'm telling you today, the wrath of God is coming. There is responsibility for your actions. The Bible says, and most of you hear me say a lot, that you will give account, not for just every deed, for every single word. Your words, where do your words come from? Your mouth, and before they get to your mouth and your tongue, where do they come from? Your mind. You think them. Before you think them, you have a desire for them out of your heart. Out of the wickedness in your heart. Or the goodness. The goodness of your heart. Right? God took the whole world and flooded it. This would be wrath. If anybody's curious about what wrath is, when he says that the desire on every person's heart was wicked continually. That sounds pretty bad. Are your guys' hearts in here? Seriously, show of hands. How many of your guys' hearts, all the time, 100% of the time, are continuously wicked? Continuously? Never any good thoughts and desires? I don't believe that. I know you. I already know you. Now look, we're not even close. There's at least this group here. All that was left before was just Noah. And what did God tell Noah? My wrath is coming. My wrath is coming. Scary, scary time. God just floods the earth because the heart of every man was wicked. Guys, gals, your hearts, your minds. Not only that, God desires that your physical body, the way you act out of your sinful nature, that it would be purified. And that you would live according to the truth and the word of God. That it would be purified or protected. It says, rid yourselves of all such things. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed by the knowledge of God. Guys, anger. Men, anger will destroy your life. It'll destroy the hearts of those you love. When you become a father and a husband, it'll destroy the heart of your wife and it'll destroy the hearts of your children. Anger is not... There's no spot in here that says, oh, have some righteous anger. Have some rage. Just a little bit of rage. It's okay. As long as you don't punch anybody. Just rage on the pillow. When you get mad, you... I mean, if you're going to... Then why wouldn't you just go... Where is it going to end? If you're going to allow yourself to have some kind of... When are you going to stop it? And even just the scornful look on a child's... onto a child, I'm telling you, it'll break their heart. And you wonder, well, I do all the right things. Why don't my kids serve God? Now listen, I'm talking about kids because listen, you're going to have them. 99.9% of you are going to be parents and fathers and have kids someday. Are your motives going to be pure when you raise your children? Are your motives pure now as a child, as a young person, to your parents? Come on, are you practicing these things within your families already? Where do you stand? When you're trying to ascend onto the holy hill before God, where is your purity? Because God, it is very clear that God desires your purity. His standard is high. Spirit, soul, and body, His standard is high. Proverbs 30:12 says, those who are pure in their own eyes and yet are not cleansed of their filth. There are those who are pure in their own eyes and not yet are cleansed of their filth. See, not only, I don't want you to only just search what you can see in your own eyes, but what do not only others think of your purity, your motives, your actions, your physical life, your spirit? What do they sense when they're around you? But when you lay it before God, what does He think? What is His standard? Not just what's right in your eyes. Well, my daddy, he was much worse than me, so, you know, I'll just do this. You know, I mean, everybody else in this world, I mean, you know, they abort babies and they do all this other stuff. And I mean, why not? I mean, I can, you know, I can beat a few up. Beats up babies, but I mean, seriously. What standard are you going to believe? When we're talking about God's standard for purity, are you just going to make it up and make up your own fairyland, your own little fairy tale? And then you stand before God, you go, God, look, here's my fairy tale. This is what I thought it should be like. What do you think? He's all like, what? Who do you think you are? Do you remember I created you? You're the clay, I'm the potter. He's like, no, but I just really wanted to because I thought it'd be easier for me. Okay, let's just right now, I want you to just consider in your heart that you're going to allow God to burn up your fairy tale. You don't need it anyway because it's not going to produce what you really wanted it to produce. And all of the things that Hollywood and our society has told you is real, I want you to consider something. I want you to consider that maybe it's not. Who do you think was the primary influencer of our culture? The media. Who do you think influences that? The devil. It was the devil. That foosball's from the devil. Right? I mean, come on. Who influenced the Hebrew culture? Moses. Probably was Moses, right? Who influenced Moses the most? God. So what do you think maybe in the scripture, there's a few things in the culture that God laid for the Hebrews that we might want to consider. I want you to think about this. How does a fish know when it's wet? When it comes out of the water. Otherwise, it's always been in the water, right? When did the fish ever get out of the water? He jumps out. Pew, ooh, what was that? Right? But then he's like, I don't want to go out there. That's weird. Dude, did you see that, man? How does a fish know when it's wet? How does a Christian know when it's been baptized into a pagan culture? How do you know? How do you know if you're wet? Right here. This is how you know. I want to encourage you, take the Desert Island Challenge with me. The Desert Island Challenge. You and me. Hello. I'll scrunchy wave at you on the desert island. So, we're out on the desert island, or just you, and let's just say you and potentially the one that God gave you, your perfect mate, soul partner, soulmate of the opposite sex. Glory to God. You're out there on the desert island. Strip away all of the water. You've never been in the water into the pagan culture. All of your culture does not exist anymore. All you have is your Bible. That's it. You, your husband, and your Bible. Desert Island Challenge. You're never going to come in contact with anyone else. Nothing else. No media, no nothing. Now, how are you going to live your life? Ooh.
maybe a little different, you might think.
No, I think a lot different. What is going to be the primary influencer of your culture that you create with your spouse? That's it. The truth. It's going to liberate you. The Bible says it will set you free. It will purify you from all unrighteousness. Desert Island Challenge. You want to find out if you're wet? When you look at the scripture, imagine there was no culture. And how would you live your life? If there weren't other Christians saying,
"Ooh, I don't know if you should do that, brother."
I mean, seriously. Christians will tell you ungodly things. How you should live your life. Oh, I know it's tough. It's tough, Jeremy. You know, God really wants you to be happy. Just divorce her. You'll be okay. I'm not kidding. What does the Word of God say? Oh, He loves you. I know He does, Hannah. He's so cute. Oh, isn't He cute? Just give Him your heart. Just go ahead. You know, I mean, Christina Aguilera would do it. She would do it. You should do it too. Did you see the latest fashion magazine? It was so hot. I mean, I just got to get things. It just comes down. I mean, it shows all my chest hair. You know, Prince, he was wearing buttless chaps the other day. I think I'm going to get me a pair. I mean, what are you going to wear? What are you going to do? Take the Desert Island Challenge with me. Come on. When the Bible talks about Christian modesty, when it talks about how you're going to raise your family, when it talks about what you're going to read, listen to, what words you're going to say, oh, no, dude, I can swear. Come on. Dude, I mean, Jesus probably swore when He stubbed His toe. Why wouldn't He? I mean, I want to. Everybody else is doing it. Nah. Right? No, but I mean, we're just looking right here. It says, no, cleanse yourself from all filthy language that comes from your lips. All right. Any of you guys want to start swearing now? No, not right now. I mean, seriously, you hear this word. Do you believe it? I mean, do you believe that it says that God's wrath is coming for you? Do you believe that you won't ascend on God's holy hill? Do you believe that the Word of God is what it says it is? That He is going to do what He says He's going to do? I promise you, He says over and over and over, He is faithful. He is not shifting, not changing, not going to change. He's not changing. Word is true. It's very clear. When you take the Desert Island Challenge, it's very clear. It's not changing. His truth isn't changing. But are you? Are you going to change? If He is not changing, something's got to change. Right? If His wrath is coming, and our sin is exposed, and we are misshapen, I was talking about last week. No, I'm fine. Lord, this is probably the shape of who You are. Right? Some of you, your heads are like, dude, I'm good, man. All I need is some butter. Just rub it on the side of my head so I can get through the door. Yeah, it's just like time release joke. Yeah. You know, here's the amazing thing about purity. Titus 1:5 says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and their consciences are corrupted. See, it's like this. How many of you guys ever been around people who smoke cigarettes? I grew up in a home where my mama smoked. And Some of you probably smoke. I'm not trying to beat you up, but I'm not saying smoke is sin and all this kind of stuff. But I mean, when you smoke, right, you don't realize that you smell like smoke. You just smoke. And you don't realize that when you got done smoking, that I can smell you from this far away. You don't realize it because it's just part of who you are. See, to the impure, things are all impure. To the the guy that has really bad BO, and he comes to school every day, or you come into your classroom at college or whatever, or you go to, you know, their house to watch a movie, you're like, dude, the whole house stinks. Like, doesn't the guy know? No, he doesn't know, because he the one that stank. You know when you do your own little stank? It don't smell as bad, does it? As when you walk in on someone else and they do their stank. Right? I mean, seriously. To yourself, you're in it. It just seems normal. It's just the way it always is. But here's the thing, is that when lust is all over you, I can smell it. People can smell it. Guys, I want to warn you. When you are struggling with lust, it's just like you've been smoking. I mean, you can just feel it. Ladies, seriously, show of hands. How many guys can feel it? When you see somebody, you can sense somebody is really lustful. Okay.
Yeah, you're all like, I don't really want to raise my hand.
Okay, I just want to scare you. I want to be honest. Guys, I want to scare you. It's part of my now. Boom! I love scaring people. I'll hide in other pastors' offices for long periods of time, waiting for them to scare them. I used to sneak back into my house and hide in the closet and wait for my wife to walk by and she'd think I was at work and I'd grab her. She'd be like, bang! Just about wet herself, yeah. So I want to scare you right now. When you are impure, especially some radical ones like sexual impurity, where's my bottle? Lust is like this. It's nasty and it's bad. And listen, it's visible. Before there was impurities in here, but you couldn't see them. But the sexual sin and lust and some of these advanced, really evil, dark things, they have much more corruption. They corrupt more of your body and more of who you are, and it makes you very undesirable. I just want to warn you. Let you know that it doesn't go unlooked. It doesn't go missed. People see it. They sense it. They know it. Depending on the severity of the sin that you're involved in and the type of sin that it is, the consequences and the aroma of it is either less or greater. Man. If we as natural people can sense this, what does God sense? The aroma in his nostrils. What does it bring to him? See, a sacrifice of our praise, a sacrifice of our life, is like a sweet incense in the nostrils of God. When you breathe in something good, some sweet perfume, or something, a rose, or something that has purity, it's refreshing. And it makes you feel good, doesn't it? You're made in the image of God. Guess what? When he smells the incense of your sacrifice and your purity, it just brings him joy. It's good. He's like, come on. Yeah, that's what I want. Guys, if you want a great woman, you've got to be pure. Because your purity is desirable. You've got to keep yourself from pornography. You've got to keep your mind from sinful thoughts. You've got to keep your mind and your will and your emotions from evil desires and power and the lust after control and identity in things that are not the Lord. But when your identity is in God and it's pure and you worship Him in spirit and in truth, there is nothing more attractive, men, than a man to a woman, than a man that is hard after in his Bible and wants to live holy and pure to the Lord and worships Him with everything holistically, spirit, soul, and body. Nothing more attractive than that. Listen, you can be totally out of shape. You can have gigantic craters all over your face. You could have a giant hook nose. They could call you Gonzo. And I'm telling you, I'm a living testimony of this. My wife is gorgeous. It's not because I'm pretty. Hello. I'm a Cro-Magnon.
Me, Josh, make fire.
Right? Dude, when I was a kid, they called me Link. I'm not kidding. I was the missing link.
Aww.
But listen, I was passionate and purely, wholeheartedly after God. And this beautiful, drop-dead gorgeous gal, for some reason, starts liking me and interested in me. Not because I was something great on the outside, but she sensed something in there. The purity in my heart, the purity in my life, the pure spiritual worship that I would give to the Lord. No, I wasn't perfect, but there was enough of it that it was attractive to her. The second I got hinted that, I got my little cowboy lasso out and roped her down. Wee-haw, boys! I got myself a live one. Hey, almost 12 years later. Actually, it's more than 12 years later. We're still together. And God is the God of our marriage. Purity reigns in our marriage. Faithfulness reigns in our marriage. Why? Because I believe the Word of God. I believe that it is true. I believe that it is sharp. That it is razor sharp and it's unshifting and changing. If I live my life according to it and I allow the process of the purificational power of the Word of God to activate and be active in my life, that I'm going to be blessed. That I'm going to be, when I walk according to His order and His Word, all of a sudden good things start to happen in my life. Hard challenges come, but guess what? The Word of God teaches me how to be pure in those hard challenges. How to keep my heart and my motives pure unto the Lord. And be content whether I'm in lack or I'm in gain. Just standing on the rock. Standing on the truth. Man. You don't have to be much, men, women. But if you're pure, if there's purity in your life, not only is there power, but you're desirable. Desirable to God and desirable to others. How many of you have ever been around someone who, man, they just got a potty mouth? I mean, like a sailor mouth. Really, really, really bad. Bad, impure, nasty, dirty things come out of their mouth. Do you really want to be around that person?
Run away.
You just don't want to be around them, do you? Because their life is just exuding all of this impurity and it's pushing you away. Who do you want to be? There's two ways to walk in purity. Maybe there's more than two, but I see two. 1 Timothy 5:22 says, "Do not be hasty in the laying on of your hands and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourselves pure." Keep yourselves pure. It's the most important way that you can do it, guys. Keep yourselves pure. When I have a daughter, she's almost 9 years old. And you know what my mission is in her life? Do you know what daddy's mission is in her life? You are right. If that's what it takes, get a bigger shotgun. My life revolves around not only containing the heart of and capturing the heart of my wife and protecting her purity. But man, you better believe that this daddy is all about protecting the heart and holding and caring for the heart of my little girl. Whatever it takes. Boys, I'm telling you, if you're not pure, you better stay away. Stay away from my house. This little boy, he comes over and he started trying to wrestle my daughter out in the yard. Bad, bad idea. At least at my house, bad idea. I'm like, boy, what do you think you're doing? He's like, he's only 8 years old. He's this little boy, you know. I'm like, you better get out of here. You're going to be wrestling me. I'm serious. My wife's all like, ah, he's just a little boy. I'm like, that's right. He's a little boy. With really bad sinful desires, even as a little boy. See you later. You can leave whatever you want to leave here, but you better run. Because guess what? I understand that if I don't stand for my daughter, no one will. If I don't stand for her, this pagan world will rape the purity of my daughter. The purity of my wife. But as the man in my family, in this home, as God has put me to head over my home, not on my watch. Not on my watch. What are you going to stand for? If you can't stand for your own purity in your life, how are you going to stand for the purity of your family when it comes your way? You can't fake this part of your life, guys. You can't do it. Because the aroma, you can smell it. Ladies, you need to become hound dogs. You need to be able to sniff this out in a man. Seriously. You got to be able to smell that. He was good. He's all right. You want an axe? I think you might be wearing an axe. Look. You've got to be able to, as Paul encouraged Titus or Timothy, he said, look, keep yourself pure. 2 Corinthians 11:2 says, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. Promised. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. This is Paul talking to his disciples. You must keep yourselves pure. Holistically pure. To God's standard, holistically in your spirit, soul, and your body. Then there's another process at work, and it's the process of being purified. Because the reality is that we're just jacked up. And as much as I protect the purity in my daughter's heart, there are going to be times when she has her own sinful thoughts or desires or motivations. And she has to know and be equipped on how to be purified. Amen? How to engage herself and to believe that the Word of God can renew her mind and that she can be purified in that process. Colossians 3:10 says, put on the new self which is being renewed in the knowledge or the image of God, its Creator. It's discovering the shape of God and then conforming to it, allowing your shape to be transformed into the shape of your Heavenly Father, that your shape would become like His. And I explained that all last week about we have misshapen or it grows and it's like tumors in our life, and God wants to knock those things off, and He does it by when we see His shape for what it is, and then we conform ourselves by the renewing of our mind, surrendering of our lives, offering ourselves as a sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing, acceptable to Him. This is your spiritual act of worship. You want to worship God? Offer your impurities to Him. Lay them on the altar and sacrifice them to Him. Daniel 12:10 says, many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. I want to go back to the verse in Revelation,
all of you theologians out there.
Revelation 19:7, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready with fine linen, bright and clean. It was given for her to wear. The fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Now look, the wedding of the Lamb is here. Christ paid the price for your righteousness. It's available to you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can be pure. Bible says, be holy as I am holy. It's possible. You can do it. With Christ, all things are possible. Now, if you're going to stir your faith up for something, I encourage you to stir your faith up for your purity. You want to see people healed? You want to see people saved? You want to see miracles? You want to have the miracle that you could raise a godly family and they'd all serve him? That, in our day and age, guys and gals, is a miracle. Yeah, that is the miracle I'm believing God for. That's the number one miracle I'm believing God for. And I believe that it is possible through Christ. Look, are you preparing? It says that the wedding, that the bride prepares herself with the fine linens that Christ had prepared for her. The bride is the church. You are the church. The fine linens, the garments for your wedding clothes are sitting there. Christ is inviting you into his banquet. It's a beautiful picture sitting out right in front of you. The feast is ready. The bridegroom is ready. Christ is standing there. It's like, are you going to come into my feast? But you have to prepare yourself. See, it says that the bride prepares, has made herself ready with the things that were prepared for her. That's you. Are you going to take that righteousness that Christ has prepared for you? Are you going to put it on? In the Song of Solomon, it gives many, many examples of how beautiful the wedding and the marriage relationship is. And all the things that the women would adorn themselves with. The woman in the example many times is the example of the church of Christ. Of you. Of Christ's church. Christ's bride. That's all of us. And are you going to take the time to put on those things of which God has prepared for you? The purity that he has clothed you with. It's available to you. And you can do it. Psalms 51:7 says this, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Malachi 3:2 says, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like the refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. Listen, it is that time. This is the time where God's got his launder soap out and he wants to clean you. Scrubbing you all up, getting you all clean. He wants to turn up the fire inside, the fire around you, to heat up all those imperfections and raise them to the top so that he can remove them out of your life. And you can be pure silver or gold. Today is the day. Isaiah 1:25 says, I turn my hand against you and I'll thoroughly purge away the dross, which is the impurities, and remove all your impurities. This is God's heart for you. 1 Timothy 1:5. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. 1 Timothy 3:9. They must keep hold of the deep truths of faith with a clear conscience. God is calling you to be pure and spotless bride. One who has made herself ready for the wedding. My question is this. Are you willing to allow God to purify your life? Are you willing to keep yourself pure? Are you ready? Are you ready for that wedding banquet? Are you ready right now? If God returned today, if there was a meteorite that came in here and just messed us all up, right in the middle of this message, boom. If it happened, where would all of us go? Where would you go? What would happen? Are you ready for the wedding banquet? Would you stand before him? You're like, I didn't get my clothes on. I'm still naked. He just turns on the fire. You're like, right? What's going to happen? Are you ready? Have you made yourself ready? Listen, you can make yourself ready. Jordan, are you still in here? My little Jordan. Come here. Come here and play something for me. Listen, we still have some time. And I want you to consider, just right now, sitting in your seat, Jordan's going to play something good, something that works. And I want you to consider in your heart right now, have you made yourself ready? Just isolate yourself from your friends and your neighbors. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to just get alone. If you want to find a place alone in this room, do it right now. This is a good chance for you. It's time to make yourself ready. It's not time for you to stay where you've been, because the wrath of God is coming, guys. At some point, it's going to end for you and for me. And have you made yourself ready? Let me pray for you. And seriously, I want you to find a place right now, a place just of solitude. And I want you to consider the deep recesses of your heart. What does God want to do? What does He want to purify in your life? And I just want you to begin to give it to Him. It's just time to give it to Him. It's time to make yourself ready. It's time to put on those wedding clothes that God has prepared for you. Let me pray for you. Father, I just pray that you would move powerfully in the lives of every single person here. God, you know that if I gave an altar call, that every single person, including myself, would need to respond. That every person in this room, we all need to respond. So God, right now, let our hearts be responsive to the power of your word. God, that we would be transformed and made new according to its powerful and unchanging nature. Make ready our lives for your wedding banquet. God, I thank you that Christ, you paid the price for all of our sin and all of our unrighteousness. And God, if we just believe upon you and call upon your name and believe that you were raised from the dead, we can be saved and we can spend eternity with you. We can go into that wedding banquet. God, I pray you lay it on the hearts of every person in here to surrender their hearts fully to you. God, that they would make their hearts ready to receive your word, ready to receive the life that you've given them, the abundant life, God, that you have made them for. Father, that you created them for an intimate and lasting personal relationship with you. God, I pray that you would move into them today. Into that relationship, God. You are worthy today. You are worthy of our sacrifice. So just alone, where you're at, I want you to begin with your words, even if it's quiet, I want you to begin to surrender those impurities. Father, I surrender my pride to you. I surrender my wicked thoughts and wicked deeds to you right now in Jesus' name. I surrender that I want my gain instead of yours at times. I surrender to you. Purify my heart. Purify my life. Make me ready for your wedding day. There are those of you in here today that you're considering to just surrender your life to the Lord. You're considering it might be your first time It might be a surrender, a re-surrendering. But you're ready, you're tired of living your life in a way that you know is not pleasing to God and is not preparing you for this. The Lord just wants you to know that even if you're scared, He's ready for you. He's ready to receive you with open arms. He's ready to receive your heart. If your heart has been wounded, you've given it away and others have trampled it and broken it, the Lord just wants you to know that He will protect your heart. That He will be faithful with your heart. That He is trustworthy. And He's asking you today to trust Him. Trust Him with your life. He is the good Heavenly Father. Even if your father was not good, He is good. And His love and His faithfulness in your life, it can start today and it can endure forever. You can take this relationship and you will spend eternity with your Heavenly Father, never being separated from Him. Nothing, the Bible says, nothing can separate you from Him. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says that at some point every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Either by your own will now, and you find eternity with Him, or by the very power of who He is, the very power of His Word will bring every knee and every tongue into submission to Him. But it does not mean at that point that you will spend eternity with Him. But if you surrender to Him now with your heart, with your own admission, your own free will, it means something to the Lord. Love doesn't mean anything if it's forced. Sacrifice doesn't mean it's not sacrifice unless it's given.